This is the Zone Sports Network.
Back to Joe and he'll flush.
And it's time to hear from the best looking, most charismatic, and certainly the most intelligent member of the Utah Jazz.
Jingle bells!
Joe Ingles.
Gives it back to Joe till the cop slams it in.
And yes, for the record, Joe wrote this introduction. This is the Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Who?
On 97.5, 1280, The Zone. And The Zone Sports Network.
DJ and PK, it is time to welcome in Joe Ingles. The Joe Ingles Show is brought to you by Cypress Credit Union. For a limited time only, get a free Utah Jazz signed Joe Ingles jersey when you open a new dream checking account with direct deposit at Cypress Credit Union. Cypress Credit Union, your future is our future. Time to welcome in Joe Ingles. Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not going to bore you by reading you all the social media that we've got on our accounts since that game ended. But I think you can imagine kind of the tone and the demeanor and how far down the fan base is. And so I think everyone's curious, well, before we get to all the specifics, how down are you?
Yeah. I mean, it was a tough night and probably still heading into the morning now. So, you can, like you said, there's a number of things that we didn't do well. A few things that we did do well. I mean, I always kind of say it, but there is always good things you can take.
All right, what are those good things?
I think the way we came out at the start of the game, I think we were on the front foot. I think the 3 nights ago, or whatever, in LA, we kind of got pushed back a little bit, and we, not that we folded over, but it was like we were fighting uphill. I think we came out aggressive, and the way Boyan was shooting the ball, like we were getting good looks and obviously knocking them down, and it kind of, I mean, in terms of offensively especially, dried up. The shots weren't falling, and we, it was obviously every possession was making it tougher and tougher, and then a few turnovers, a few breakdowns, whatever it is. Couple of the possessions, like letting man shoot, is there. Like you have to play percentages on some of it, and he made a couple of plays. But yeah, well, like I said, we'll go in this morning and film, and obviously start to recover and get ready. And I mean, we've got no other choice but to put it all out there on Friday and get a win, and hopefully come back for a game seven.
So obviously multiple things went wrong, and I said earlier that I think the number one thing I saw was just their ability to put their head down and get past guys repeatedly, and it was different Clippers getting past different Jazz guys, and that made it worse because it wasn't like one thing you had to fix. The ball could go to multiple guys, and they seemed to be able to get in the paint or get all the way to the rim. Was that the first and foremost the biggest problem, or was it something else?
I think obviously without Kawhi and whatever, they've made a pretty big emphasis. And this was even with Kawhi, the kind of games 3 and 4 of really pushing turnovers or even some makes. Really, really like pushing the ball and or in transition, which they haven't been a huge kind of transition, I don't know, about throughout the year, but once we've got back in transition defense, we've done a pretty good job in the half court, but there's been so many opportunities that we haven't got back, and they've been able to get out of the lane, and then when you're on the back foot in transition, it's like you were saying, like they've It might be a mismatch, or it might be cross-match just because of how quick they got up before, and now we're guarding not the wrong person, but Rudy might have to pick up the ball one time, and I'm sitting back on Zubac in the post or whatever it is, and it's you end up being cross-matched, and Obviously, they're playing small, so there is a lot of similarities with the players out there, especially height-wise. But we have a game plan, and we have matchups. We want to get to them as much as we can. So, I think their aggressiveness and focus to really run has been hurting us. They've been scoring in transition, and like you said, just getting out. I mean, there was a few last night. It was like one dribble kick ahead, and they were shooting a layup or getting fouled on the rim, which obviously, being one of the better, if not the best, defensive team for a lot of this year, is not something that we're not proud of, but something that can't happen when we're out there.
How hard is it to bounce back from what we can consider a devastating loss? I mean, you guys are pros and you're expected to do it, but is it difficult?
The easy answer is we don't have a choice. We lose on Friday. We're having our meetings on Saturday. So if this, like, I think I said it to you guys last week, like, that every game should be important. So, like, we're going to get to play this for, 10 years maybe, 15 if you're lucky. Like, this is a very, very short time in a very long life we're going to live. And we're very lucky to do what we do. And if you can't be motivated or whatever it is, like I said, in game one or game 72 or especially in the playoffs, you shouldn't be out here. Like, go and find something that motivates you. And especially in this situation, like, obviously it's frustrating and guys are pretty kind of, not necessarily like down, but frustrated. And obviously, as you said, being a professional athlete, like, we can be down or frustrated or mad, but we do know the next day we've got to bounce back and start to get ready for the next game. Like, if we go into game six feeling like we were in the locker room after the game last night, then we're almost shooting ourselves in the foot. Like, we're almost kind of starting the game a step behind already. So it is frustrating, and guys were frustrated and mad and whatever other words you want to use. But, we don't have a choice. We go out there and they hit us first and we're fighting uphill all game again. It's tough. And I think walking off the court in LA the last game, they're back to full capacity now, so they're going to be sold out. They're going to have their fans ready to go. They obviously don't want to come back to Utah. And we've got to do everything in our power to win that game, or whatever it takes. And if you can't get motivated for that or get focused and get ready, you're probably in the wrong business, because it's as kind of like up against the wall or whatever you want to say it is. We've got to kind of embrace this moment, enjoy it, and like I said, come back with a win. We've got no other choice.
Joe Ingles joined us here on 97.5 at 1280 The Zone. With Mike Conley out and with Donovan clearly limited to shooting perimeter shots and occasionally, but rarely attacking the hoop, I wonder if guys like you, and I thought maybe Royce was thinking this last night, that you have got to break the paint, as Quinn likes to say, and get to the hoop. Do you focus on that a little more, given what's going on with other guys on the roster, or is that a dangerous way to think and you can't predetermine everything? You got to read the D every time and let them dictate your decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you can't predetermine it. I don't think I like the pure joy of playing basketball. Like, it's to read and react game, and the best players and the best teams are the ones that obviously can do that at a higher level. And in saying that, like, yes, like, we still do have to have that as a focus. I think, like you said, obviously Mike is elite at breaking the paint and creating and doing all that, and so is Donovan. Obviously Mike's out and Donovan's dealing with his ankle. So for JC, myself, Royce, kind of really all the guards that are out there playing the way we play, like, if we've got a shot, taking the shot. But yeah, like you said, knowing that if we can get in there and play off 2 feet and create, and they do, regardless of the game it's been, they collapse so hard in the paint, no matter who gets in there, they kind of collapse, and then they fan out and then try and contest the shots or make you drive again. So I was probably trying to focus on a little bit. Like, you don't want to overfocus. Like, you don't want to give up a wide open three because you're thinking about breaking the paint, and you don't want to over break the paint and then not think about your shot. It's a, kind of a two-edged sword, but yeah, I mean, it's a read and react game. If we've got a shot, I feel like we should take it. We have been taking it a lot of time. That's how we've played all year. It's kind of what got us as far as we had so far got. But yeah, we've got to read the situation. If they close out short or they miss a rotation, or it's Zubac closing out because of a rotation, like reading that play and making a decision and being aggressive with that decision, being confident, being aggressive, and whatever that outcome is, we make it, we miss it, we get in there and make the right play or have a turnover, we've got to get to the next play. And back to what I was saying before, get back in transition D, because on a make or a miss, they're running it as fast as they can at the moment.
So Paul George may not care about you, Joe, but I certainly care about you. And I also care about Paul George's ability out on the floor, and he's playing very, very well. What can you guys do to maybe rein him in a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too disappointed. He doesn't care. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. that's for sure. I've got a few people at home that care about me, and that's the important part. But, yeah, I mean, he's playing at a high level. I think he's obviously taken the load offensively, especially last night at the end of game four. Yeah, we just got to – I mean, obviously – the way they're playing with the spacing and all that, they're trying to put Rudy in certain positions to not be able to help on the rim. They're not even really like playing for mismatches. He's kind of just attacking whoever's on him, and top to bottom, we've got to do a better job, whether that be Royce or I, who's probably on him the most, the two of us. Just making it tougher, making it harder. Obviously, I think, I can't remember off the top of my head, but like a majority of their starters, I think maybe Terrence Mann was the only one that didn't play like high 30s, early 40s, minutes-wise. So you've got to make him work, whether we can put him into more actions on the other end. Again, make it tougher on him in the half court. Again, I'm sure we'll throw some different looks. Like I said, we'll go in this morning and obviously have a shoot around or a meeting tomorrow morning as well and look at some stuff. But obviously he's kind of the key, him and probably Reggie Jackson offensively. Have been playing well. I mean, Reggie Jackson's played well kind of all series offensively. So obviously Paul George is the guy that's kind of the head of the snake, and then those other guys kind of feed off him. So, yeah, it's no secret we've got to do a better job, and I'm sure Royce will take that challenge. I'll take that challenge, whether it's a mismatch on him or we change some things up. We've, at the end of the day, we've got to do a better job.
So this will shock you, but we've got a lot of people hitting us up on social media about the refereeing. And you are a guy who talks to the refs a lot. Sometimes you're hollering at them, but sometimes you really are talking to them. And I'm wondering how much stuff is negotiable and what you can say, because clearly Paul George gets away with wiping away guys with his left arm as he drives. He's pushing off. But stars get calls, and we all know this. And Rudy, sometimes he gets called, but a lot of time he gets away as he's trying to block a shot with a hand in a guy's back, which makes it hard for the guy to jump and explode. Makes it a little easier to block his shot. So how much do you have to concede that stars get that, and how much do you try to work refs during the game to get a couple of those calls at least?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a game within the game almost. You try and, I mean, obviously they've got a pretty tough job, as a lot of us are aware, as much as we hate them at times. It's a tough, they're going to miss stuff. They're going to maybe overcall some stuff. Obviously they've got the video, which they can go back and look on, which I think they've done a fair bit in this series. Some of it is purely out of our control. Like, some of it you've got to read the way they're calling the game, whether it be like you're allowed to play more physical or not. Obviously, the playoffs is always a bit more physical. You can get away with some stuff. like you said, a part of it is I doubt they sit in a room and talk about who gets more leeway and who doesn't, but there's certain things that they go unnoticed with people that I wouldn't get away with or whatever. So, like I said, it's almost like some of it's like a battle that's out of your control almost. And I know it's probably silly hearing me say that because I do get on them a bit and I try to ride them a little bit. Some of it's really good conversation. Like, some of it is really, like, if you approach them the right way, 99% of the time, they'll obviously be respectful and answer your question or try and answer your question or try and help the situation you're talking about. Obviously, if you go out there yelling and screaming, they're probably going to walk off. I feel like I've probably talked to them a bit less in the playoffs than I would normally. Trying to get a read on it. Obviously, you try to work it in your favor a little bit for whoever it is, regardless of who you're trying to help out. But, part of it, obviously, like I said, is just out of our control. So we've got to they're going to call what they call. We got to deal with it, get to the next play. Obviously, sometimes there's a bit more talk or whatever back and forth, but at the end of the day, we've got to get to the next play and whatever, run our offense properly or get back in defense or whatever it is. So I'm sure they're sitting there thinking there's calls that got missed on them or they got screwed on or whatever it is. So both teams are in the same position, really. And like I said, at the end of the day, they've got a hell of a job to do with 10 athletes yelling at them and two coaches yelling at them the whole time for a couple of hours.
Yeah, plus 18,000 fans, excuse me, or whatever it might be. That's for sure. It seems like the Clipper role players are playing with a lot of swag and confidence, and I think that it's contributing to them playing maybe a little bit better than they actually are, and good for them. You know, credit them for doing it. Is there anything that you can do to maybe bring those role guys down a peg and not be so cocky, which translates into confidence, which is important when you're playing any type of sport?
Yeah. Like I said before, it's almost like you pick your battles. Obviously, every game, there's a game plan and certain people you're going to let shoot a bit more or not let shoot, but you want them to shoot sometimes or you're going to help off a certain guy or obviously we're going to trap certain guys or blitz them or whatever the game plan is, depending on the game or and the player. Like the one that pops out when you say that is like the Terrence Mann three that he made. I think he was 1 for 5 or 1 for 6. Like,
right.
That's the shot that obviously we were willing to give up. And if he makes one, like, you don't run away from your game plan because of one shot. The like losing Kennard and him banging a three or Batum over closing out and him making a play for someone else, like knowing the tendencies of players, like we know Terrence Mann, he probably admitted like he doesn't really want to shoot probably 6 threes. He will shoot them if they're open, but he wants to make you kind of like close out reasonably hard so he can get on the rim or make a play for someone else. So you've got to obviously got to be locked in with the personnel of the team and know whether we're closing out short or we're closing out short with Batum, letting him shoot it, but over a contested hand, not just obviously letting him shoot a wide open shot. So I think, it's probably obvious that they are playing confidently as a group, probably too, not just individuals, but. Just being really locked in with the game plan itself and then obviously with the personnel, whether we are, whatever it may be, blitz Paul George and we're running back and Rudy has to close out to Terrence Mann late in the clock. Like, just being solid with that closeout, whether it's Morris posting me and we're going to double team one time, knowing what we're doing and then who's rotating out of it. And when you're locked in and when you're executing a game plan and you guys have seen it. When we're doing that at a higher level, it's like we make it tough on teams. We make those shots tougher shots because they are against over a contest or they are a shot that we almost want them to take, that they're not comfortable taking. Like the amount of numbers and stats you get in the NBA these days, like you can tell where someone's not comfortable. And it's pretty obvious. So that goes into it. And then obviously at the end of the day, it's about executing. If you're the worst three-point shooter in the league and you get five wide-open looks, like you might, there's a good chance you're going to, like everyone's in the NBA for a reason. Like you might not be the best shooter, but you can probably hit the rim and maybe one rolls in one time. Just about being like really locked into, like I said, the game plan and the personnel and executing it.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you coming on. You've got a great track record. We never doubted you would after a fairly bitter loss. We appreciate it, and I know the Jazz fans listening appreciate it. And we'll all be watching Friday night.
Appreciate it. We'll hopefully be back for a game 7.
Yeah.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Joe Ingles after game 5, looking ahead to game 6.
I'm such a softy, man. I don't want this season to end. I'll be sad. I never thought I'd say that 20 years ago. I'm a disgrace to the profession.
You switched professions. You'd only be a disgrace to the newspaper profession. And radio, everyone goes, yeah, it sucks when it's over.
Yeah. But, you know, some of you hear Joe talk, and you just want to continue. You don't want it to end. And they have an opportunity.
Especially this year, because the door seems so wide open. And I think that's why all three of these Game 5 losses for all three teams, it just seems massive. Now, obviously, they can't all win it. We know that. But
it's not overcomable. It's not overcomable.
Right. There's still hope. You're not eliminated by the third loss. And the odds say, and they were flashing up on the screen, whatever the NBA history is, 82 or 84% or whatever it was. So 4 times out of 5, the team that wins game 5 and goes up 3-2 wins the series. Be the exception, right? The Clippers were the exception.
Clippers
in the last
are the
series.
Clippers. Come on. I mean, they're the Clippers.
They're not the Clippers anymore.
No, they're the Clippers.
Okay.
Something stuck in my throat or something. But they're not the Clippers. They're the Clippers.
Okay.
They are the Clippers. But then again, the Suns are the Suns and the Jazz are the Jazz. So none of these teams have ever won it.
True story.
And they've all had their moments of being right there. Maybe the Clippers haven't, but the Suns have it. You know, they had it with Barkley, and they had it with Nash. And even before then, when I was living there, they always had good teams.
They were in the finals in the 70s with the Celtics. There's a famous triple overtime game or double overtime game, whatever
it
was.
Yeah, but then they slip up. I can remember they were playing in Kansas City, which doesn't even exist anymore.
They moved to Sacramento.
Is that where they went? Yeah. And Sam Lacy was the coach, or the player. And I think Cotton Fitzsimmons was the other coach. And their Suns are supposed to win, and they lost. And I remember one time there was a Mother's Day game, same thing. They were up Seattle in Phoenix, and it was 2-2. And the Suns were supposed to win. Paul Westphal's mother sang the national anthem. He presented her with roses.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That was where my friend decided that he needed to keep his foot over a chair.
Oh, boy.
Because that was the key. And, and then they lost, and it was so disheartening. And that last night was disheartening, but you got to get past it, man. Can these role guys of the Clippers do what they've done? If they do, good on them, they win. And if Mike is going to come back, it's now.
Well, I don't know that the Clippers have to win the same way. I mean, yeah, if they're going to win another high-scoring game, the guys have to score. But when the games have gone to L.A., the Jazz haven't scored. So maybe in this game, you know, the Clippers, you got to find different ways to win. It's hard to win the same way all the time. So the Clippers may be thinking, if Ty Lue might be sitting in a meeting right now, like, I don't know if our guys are going to shoot it like that. We better preach defense. The Jazz haven't shot as well on the road. You know, Bogey won't make 6 in the first quarter on us here. Right. So we got to be ready. We got to be ready to win 105-99 tonight.
Okay, that better not be the score.
All right, DJ and PK, it's 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. Everything you missed in this show, coming up next. Stay with us.